podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I wonder whether you got this format from Saturday Kitchen.
Football. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Hello, welcome to episode 10 of Comedians Talking About Football. Sam Michael here, as always. And today's guest is Joseph Parsons, and he's going to be talking about Bristol City FC. This episode was such a laugh to record. We spoke on Zoom back in August, so it was between the 2019-20 and 2020-2021 seasons, and between Lee Johnson's management and Dean Holden arriving at the club. So ignore the hope from Joseph during the 5 minutes he optimistically talks about what the season ahead might look like under Chris Hughton management. Before we kick off, pardon the pun as always, I just want to add that, as I said, this episode was really good fun to record. If you know Joseph Parsons, you'll know what a naturally funny guy he is, and you're in for a lot of laughs over the next hour or so. Talking about football with comedians is guaranteed fun. Hence why I started a podcast where I get to do it regularly. However, Joseph also talks in detail about his experiences of homophobia and the derogatory chants and actions he's witnessed as a gay football fan. This is a really important conversation, and I really appreciate Joseph being so open on the subject. And for me personally, it was a real education, especially his thoughts on openly gay footballers, of which at time of recording this podcast, there are none in the Premier League or English Football League. Recently, in promotion of Rainbow Laces, Stonewall charity, Tom Allen, an openly gay comedian, appeared on Soccer Saturday in support of the LGBTQ+ campaign. Although the response from viewers was largely positive, Tom Allen tweeted that he was hurt by homophobic abuse he received on social media following his appearance on Sky Sports. There is evidently a lot more we need to do as a society. This conversation between Joseph and I takes place around 40 minutes into the episode, if you're keen to listen to this part of the show now. I will just warn listeners that because Joseph is talking about his personal experiences on the terraces, he will be quoting some of the offensive, homophobic language he's heard from the fans. Speaking of offensive language, fuck homophobia, fuck homophobic football fans. You are not welcome to this podcast. I love football and I love people loving football, and I always want the game to be as inclusive as possible. Other than people who wear half and half scarves, of course, we don't. No, I'm joking. We have plenty of jokes coming up with Joseph Parsons. So before our chat, let's take a listen to him in action.
And I also, my favourite sport in the world is football. It's my favourite sport. I've always loved football. Any football fans in? Woo! Who do we support?
Man United.
Yes.
Just the national team.
Just the national team. Love it. Pride. In a different way. Now, I'm a massive Bristol City fan myself. I don't know what we're doing today, but I can imagine conceding. just for the football fans, that one. But I love football, right? But it's not a very gay-friendly sport. All you need to do is go to a stadium, and all a player needs to do is fall over, and they're like, oh, fucking poof. You hear that all around the stadium, because gays famously fall over all the time. It's just like... What's happened, Greg? Gay. Oh, it's happened again.
It's a funny old game.
Joseph Parsons is here. Hello.
Hello. Sorry. Hello. Teed that up well, didn't I?
I'm going to hit you with a hard-hitting question.
All right. Sounded very violent.
My friend from Bristol says that Bristol City are held back by the very existence of Bristol Rovers. Respond.
No, I mean, Bristol. I'm not sure if this makes me a bad fan, but I quite fondly like Bristol Rovers in the same way as, like, I want them to be our rivals and I want them to be up a higher division so that we can play each other again and make that rivalry stronger. But I sort of, for me, I don't hate them as much as Cardiff. Cardiff, yeah, I cannot hack. I cannot. They are awful. And I'm sorry, if you're a Cardiff fan, you're awful just by proxy. It's unfortunate. It's just a default setting that Cardiff fans will have, is that they will automatically be awful. But Bristol Rovers fans, because we haven't been in the same division for so long, he smugly says, I don't know. What about you guys? What's going on? How is league there?
Well, I mean, I found that quite a strange take. I've got no opinion on that. I will add to myself. It's just something he said in passing when we were talking about, because I think it's genuinely shocking that Bristol City have never been in the Premier League.
We were in the top flight when it wasn't the Premier League.
Yeah, but I mean,
but that doesn't count.
That does not count. That's why Liverpool have just won their first ever top flight title. Everyone's talking about their 19th title. What are you talking about?
But we're a big old city. We're a big old city to not have a big team. And we're trying. Bloody hell, we're trying if we didn't sell all of our players.
Well, that's exactly it. That's my point.
Southampton of fucking Championship football, which I'm fine with, by the way, because I respect Lansdowne and I really respect money. But I also would respect an automatic promotion push. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
I genuinely think that Bristol, as a city, should have a Premier League team. It's such a big city, and I almost feel like it's Bristol showing off by not having a team.
Underground, isn't it? It's a very vegan restaurant approach to football.
It is, isn't it?
We could reach the Premier League, but do you know what? We like the drama of the Championship.
It's exactly that, isn't it? It's exactly that. You are a team on vinyl. That's what you are.
I would say if you went to see the fan base, who I love and adore, it's not as hipster as you'd expect.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've been to Bristol City, Ashton Gate. I actually went the season just gone.
The longest season on earth.
I had to think for a minute if it was this season, because it genuinely feels like it happened in 1993. But it's, you know. But no, that's it, basically. It's almost shocked me that other than the fact that they're probably loving it and thinking, you have a Premier League team? Oh, no, we're very much Championship. But I feel like Bristol City in the last 20-odd years should have at least had one realistic push to get into the Premier League. I think there was a time around perhaps 2007, 2008, where they nearly went up. It looked like it was going to happen.
Yeah, 2008, we were close. I think it was 2008, we lost to Hull in the playoff finals when Dean Windass scored what can only be described as an awful, brilliant goal. It was so good that it made me want to punch myself in the scrotum. And of all the people... they briefly tried to make Dean Windass a pundit on Sky Sports.
They tried.
It was a really funny moment for television. But no, I think, by the way, I would say 99% to 100% of the fans, and I don't want to speak for everyone, would love to be in the Premier League. We're not going, oh God, we're almost in the playoffs like we were for all of this season pretty much until we did our classic diminuendo, for a musical term, where we fall off the cliff towards the end. Under Lee Johnson, we've always been a bit streaky, to say the least. So we're not opposed to a 9-game losing streak. Well, we are opposed to it. We're just very used to it. We are one of the richest men in the world. We're a solid club financially, and I think for the Championship, that's rare. I would say... He's building us as a business, and I'm okay with that, as long as because with doing that, if you invest a load of money and then he suddenly fucks off and then we're left with nothing, that's much more terrifying than someone who's being quite canny about building it as a business. This is what I imagine is the case, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I've not chatted to him. we're not close, although I'd love...
There's your community for you.
But I think... We are a businessy kind of club. We spend money on our stadium. We sell players for a good profit. That's sort of how we work. We're not a kind of pile of fuck ton of money. Sort of how Bournemouth eventually got promoted. They had a lot of money behind them and they invested well. And then not over the last 2 years, hence their demise. But I'm hoping it's a cleverer way. I do apologise. I'm stifling a burp. I've ill-judged the two.
Let it out.
Camden Hells, if you like Camden Hells, guys, just hoping you get a bit free sponsorship here, Michael.
Thank you.
Drinking Camden Hells lager because I'm an absolute lad.
And I'm, for those of you who are not drinkers, Buxton Water.
Oh, there's a man who cares about his health, loser.
So maybe then what you're suggesting is that it could be a slow build towards the Premier League. It could be.
I think it's been a really lovely, slow, slow, slow build. And it's...
Or are you just in purgatory forever?
I think Bristol City's like a good prog song. Takes a while, but my God, when we get there, it's going to be explosive. We're going to be like deafening Mogwai by the time we get to the Premier League. And I do hope that's the fact. And I think
that is the most Bristol analogy I've ever heard for a
man
football
who's grown
team
up on
ever.
Sort of. A man who's grown up on trip hop solidly for pretty much my whole life. Massive Attack is our national anthem. Yeah, well, I'm very proud Bristol City fan, and I think they're going about it in a much more dignified way than a throw millions of pounds at it sort of situation. It just feels a bit more of a switched on vibe. I don't know if I'll feel like that if in 10 years time we're still 6th for most of the season and then 12th at the end of the season, which seems to happen so much at the moment, and I'm fine with it. But yeah, I'd love us to do well. It's lovely when we won League One. That was a great feeling.
Yeah, that's nice. That was something to enjoy. I'd be quite happy to get relegated at the moment just to enjoy winning something, maybe. Even if it's the Chequered Trade Trophy.
The good thing about Reading is they're so damn weird to watch. Like, they're a team that will win 5-1 and lose 3-1 for the next four games. And you're like,
yeah, that's pretty much it at the moment.
It was a bit like QPR had that as well this year. They were like 6-1, 7-1, 6-1, and now we're fucked again. And yeah. We're back to our old stuff. See you later, guy. See you later, promotion.
Very strange. I should say at this point that I think maybe the listeners are expecting me to kind of back up what my friend meant by Bristol Rovers are holding Bristol City back. Well, not a clue what he meant. I asked him what he meant. He said they're just holding them back. And I don't know what that means. I mean, are they taking up space? I mean, do you want to use the Memorial Ground for practice? Sure there are some players there that won't be any use to Bristol City. I have no idea what they mean by that.
Knowing where Memorial Ground is, no. And I think our sort of rivalry is sadly separated, as I said earlier. And I think I might be by myself here, but I'd love them to get into the Championship after we've got into the Premier League. I love that.
It's the Funny Old Game. Comedians talking about football.
My
is
memory
this
when
interesting
I...
for people?
I hope so. You can say that about the premise of... Not football fans, I assume not, and people who aren't Bristol.
I just don't want to waffle on about Bristol City in a sense where it becomes impossible to listen to.
I mean, that is pretty much the premise of the podcast.
I want to make Bristol City accessible. And they're a lovely team with some cool cats and Famara Jeju, who I love.
Well, I'll tell you
Famara struggled with his name, which was a wonderful moment.
Well, what I do is I do emergency facts for every guest on the show, giving them some facts that they may not know about their own football club. So
it might be quite a lot. I always worry about doing anything specific to Bristol City because I fear the wrath of diehard Bristol City fans who won't call me a proper Bristol City fan.
Well, considering we're talking about the rivalry of Bristol Rovers, Bristol City, although according to you, there apparently isn't one, and they're just a jolly little non-league team.
They're cute, aren't they? They're like they're cute little, lovely little. A bit like how Dulwich Hamlet are cute.
Future guest, by the way.
Bless him. Who's the future guest?
The director of Dulwich Hamlet, or one of the directors, who somehow turned to comedy during
lockdown. They've got a comedy night there, don't they?
They have got a comedy night there.
Yeah.
And one of the directors, neither have I, one of the directors, again, I went to school with him, not been invited, but he started doing this kind of thing where he was washing up during lockdown, and he became a comedy thing, and he got booked for online comedy clubs.
Oh, wow.
I want to mention this emergency fact for you, because we're talking about the rivalry of Bristol City, Bristol Rovers. Did you know that the reason that there's blue paint over the Banksy and Park Street is because of the rivalry? Apparently, in an interview, Banksy, who is a Bristol City fan, made a reference that he wasn't huge into football, but I can't remember the exact quote, but essentially mentioned that he was pro-Bristol City and anti-Bristol Rovers. So a Bristol Rovers fan, they shot blue paint on that graffiti on the side in Park Street. One of them, the naked man hanging out the window, covered it in blue paint.
Well, that's a solid, brilliant, well-researched Bristol City, Bristol Rovers fact. Banksy, as we all know, is a legend.
Or she. You didn't even say he, but
the amount of people that my mum says knows Banksy is remarkable at this time. About six hair clients that she does, for some reason, know who Banksy is. She gave me even a name once. Banksy. It was christened that way. But yeah, bit of unfun facts.
Well, there, that's not bad. Then first fact, and you didn't know it. That's not too
bad. No, I didn't know it. And to be honest, not to again diminish my fandom, I'm sat here adorned with a Bristol City strip to show how much of a fan I am. But there will be some facts I don't know.
The logo, of course, changed. The emblem this season. I know that's really petty, but why did it change this season?
This is what we call classic football rebrand. Yep. Place an old crest into a circle. Yep. Simplify the icon of us is the Robins. Make it linear, and thus created the rebrand. You see
very
it.
Nice.
Try and find a rebranded football club that isn't within a circle. I dare you.
It is all, isn't it? Even just thinking off the top of my head, Man City.
Even bloody Stockport. Everyone's going circular. It's on trend. I don't dislike it. I do obviously miss the history of our old crest, but I understand that brands need to move on, and Brand Lansdowne needs this. We need to be. I would say, not as recognisable as our old symbol, as it looks to the untrained eye very much like Brentford's logo. But that's the untrained eye.
Why do you know why you went from Robins to unicorns back to Robins?
No, I don't. Is this another fact you're going to give it to me?
No, I haven't got a clue, but I'd love to know.
I'd love for this to be edited out because it's making me seem like a terrible fan. It's actually interesting. The Robins, it's not really known where... There's lots of myths around where it came from, but it's not really known. It's one of those facts that no one really knows. So it's not really a fact. It's an unknown. It's an unknown Robin-y thing. I would be amazed if it isn't just that it's an alliteration on... the word red.
I bet if I interviewed a Bristol Rovers fan, they'd know about their crest.
Well, gas heads. They're all gassy, aren't they?
See, I'm trying to get you angry at them. I want to end this podcast with you angry. I want you to go and deck a Bristol Rovers.
No, get Cardiff. Give me a... I was on a dating app and someone supports Cardiff. It's a popular dating app, Tinder. Mm-hmm. And a big tell for me is if the guy's interested in football. Oh, by the way, disclaimer, gay. just in case you didn't know that. I was talking to him for a bit. And there are many things I can forgive. And I really tried to push through the fact he was a Cardiff fan. But it took about six messages and I was like, I don't think I can do this. This is a real thing, and I don't know why, because I like Wales as a country. Cardiff City FC are, and if you've ever seen them watch, if you've ever watched them play football over the last 5 or 6 years, you'll know it's never a good game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, well, do you know what? This past season just gone, we played Cardiff something like 3 times in the space of 1 week. Because we had them in the league and we had them in the FA Cup third round and an FA Cup third replay. And that all happened in the space of about 8 days. And I was sick to death of watching Cardiff.
I tell you what. And to be fair, Neil Harris, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
In charge of them. He's done a good job. They're competitive, but they are still Cardiff.
They are.
And it's such a shame.
I've got to ask, when, obviously, disclaimer straight over here, when they say, when you're on
Tinder... Like everyone in the world.
Hi, welcome to the Straight White Male Podcast. So when you see, when you're going through ladies on Tinder, they might mention football. Yeah, I'm very much considered one of the lads. I love my beer, love my football.
It's, with guys, I think it's a great way...
Genuine.
Oh, always.
Well, actually, I will say this. I found my wife on Tinder. I don't mean I found her like recently on Tinder mucking around. I met her on Tinder.
Sorry that you have to use a podcast to add this information.
No, I met her on Tinder, and by this point, you're right, I'd realised all Reading women were liars and pushed my kilometres up. I always did it in kilometres, nice and far, so I'd reach Swindon, where I finally got a date. And she has no interest in football whatsoever, never liked it. Her dad really likes it, so we've always got on. Her, my brother-in-law really likes it. It's great.
You hate her. Interest. But the dad you can handle.
Yeah. But she's recently got into Sunderland Till I Die. She's never shown an interest in football ever. She's been to one game with me in the middle of December, watching us lose to 1-0 against Middlesbrough. Bless her. That's when I knew I'd marry her. And she, but she's recently got into Sunderland Till I Die. And I think she's really getting into it. It's quite sweet. She sent
me. Do you
think
there's a sadistic thing of watching a football club crumble? I love seeing pain in their little eyes as they get once again relegated from the Championship and then fail to get promotion the next year.
Fucking miserable, isn't it? But it's brilliant, isn't it?
I struggled with it because I knew the outcome. I'm a massive F1 fan as well. Similarly, I will watch the Formula One documentaries, but I know the outcome. So, like, some of the drama stripped back for me. And with Sunderland, I don't know. I'm sorry, Sunderland fans. I don't care about you.
I love it. There's something brilliantly British that the big Netflix show is about Sunderland, considering in America they've gone and done The Last Dance about the Chicago Bulls, possibly the greatest basketball team of all time at the biggest moment in their history. That's the documentary. And here it's just gone, and we've made a show about Sunderland when they're in League One.
Look at this big flop. Look at them fall from grace. Look at the failure. Isn't the pain lovely? Can't you eat the pain?
I do think my wife really is into things like, you know, murder mystery things, true crime. She does watch some really harrowing documentaries.
Some would say some of the Sunderland owners murdered the club.
Well, there we go. That's why I think maybe she's into it. She's watching this sort of disaster come. But what I thought was great was she actually, she messaged me earlier and she just said, I'm watching it again. I said, oh, great. What episode are you on? Are you enjoying it? And she replied with, I'm on episode 5, transfer deadline day. That one player that was on loads of money, what a twat. And I replied, okay. Jack Rodwell. She's gone, yeah, what a dick. So selfish. Just starting episode 6. The cunt's still there at the minute as he couldn't make a decision. And I really, that's the most proud I've ever been. That's the greatest text I've ever received from my wife.
Well, in I can't remember what date it was. We had Bristol City were very close to peril in the third tier. I think it was 1982. Era, please don't quote me on that. And 8 players tore up their contracts to save the club.
Cool. There you go. And Jack Rodwell wouldn't even play football.
Proudest moments of Bristol City fans. We all remember them. Not by name.
I was going to say, I was going to quickly Google it, but I thought 6 players can't be asked.
8. 8, and I'm pretty sure it was 1982. But we were in the third tier. We were going to melt as a club. Not a technical term.
And then Bristol Rovers. Maybe you could have been the ones to give way for Bristol Rovers to succeed. Maybe it's you holding Bristol Rovers back.
No, but they wouldn't, would they? Look at them.
Oh, come on. I'm going to hate Bristol Rovers.
Look at them all pathetic and down there. no, they're too cute to hate.
Is there a fan difference between them? Like, is there like a... I don't know.
Yeah, they're all absolute D-heads. Whereas all Bristol City fans are legends, even the awful ones.
Well, Joseph, thanks for joining me today on Comedians Talking About Football. That's where we end. If you want to get in touch.
Glad to have offended.
It's a funny old game. Comedians Talking About Football.
I'm going to play a clip for you now. But, Joseph, God, you're not going to hear the clip. I'm just going to play it in the edit, and I'll just tell you about what it was about.
Okay.
So, basically, I have a YouTube account.
All right, promo. Fucking hell. The promo is fierce with this one.
And in there, I mainly do stuff about... I'm an avid collector of football shirts. How have I got a wife? I don't know.
Lovely father-in-law, though.
Lovely father-in-law. But he, West Ham fan, great. Actually from East London as well. Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, proper. Oh. I mean, you know, who would be a glory West Ham fan? Just for him, can I just do a shout-out for Mikel Antonio? He doesn't know me.
Yeah.
But I fucking love that
man. Yeah, former Reading player.
Destined to be a pundit. He is so good in front of the cameras, and I love him. And if you are listening... I'm on Grindr. Find me. I'm actually living in East London, so please try harder to find. Anyway, won't hijack it for me, Kelly.
No.
We'll find you. He is. Is that the clip you just played? Was it me, Kelly?
That's the clip of Mikel Antonio just sending you. I did a video where I thought I was a 17-year-old vlogger about football for a week at the beginning of the
season. Guys, like and subscribe. It's just down there. Like and subscribe, please.
That recently, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
what you have to do. That. Sorry to interrupt.
32 years old and I'm doing that. But then there's this weirdo who does one with his dad and his dad acts like that. So I just think as long as I'm not the dad, I'm fine. But anyway, in this video, I decided to predict all of the results of who would go up from League One and League Two and the Championship. And I think I did quite well. Like, for example, I predicted that Swindon would go up. And no way anyone would have predicted that at the beginning of the season. And I've also predicted Brentford to make
or
the playoffs.
Or ever in history, by the way.
Ever in history, exactly. But one thing I did predict, I predicted that Bristol City would finish first and win the Championship. Starting off then with the Championship, I think the champions of the 2019-2020 season and my first prediction for getting promoted is going to be, but we can't see the logo, Bristol City. I was gutted to see Bristol City miss out last year. I think they had a really, really good season. I think finishing eighth was really harsh considering the great season that they'd had. Lee Johnson is doing a really good job there at the moment. There has been some movement there over the summer. Obviously, losing Kelly to Bournemouth, that's going to be a bit of a blow, but they've brought in some decent players as well. It seems to me that they haven't brought any superstars in, but they're bringing in decent championship footballers, such as the Chelsea centre-back Kallas, Daniel Bentley, the Brentford goalkeeper, and young Jay De Silva, also from the Chelsea youth team.
Sorry, why did you predict that? Were you on any form of illegal high at the time?
I just like the new logo.
Is it just like, oh, well, they've had a rebrand. They look a bit like Brentford, but Brentford won't win, even though they definitely could have done this year.
Well, I did put some reasons in, as the listeners just heard in that clip I played. I put some great reasons in there.
Oh, great. Don't show me the clip. Let me make a fucking fool of myself in the edit. Thanks, mate.
But yeah, basically, I think you just bought some good players, and I thought, yeah, that would do. No, but I genuinely thought they were going to finish first. So why didn't you? Why did you let me down?
A few reasons. We did ship a few players pre-season. I think when we started shipping players like Flint, Joe Bryan, we lost Bobby Reid as well.
You got that keeper, didn't you, from Brentford?
Yeah. But I mean, right, Bentley's been all right, but he's been a bit floundery as well, which is fine. Everyone has the goalkeepers are heavily scrutinized, and if they make one error, they're horrific. I won't blame him. I think having watched him a few times towards the end of the season, we looked so bereft of ideas. every single game we were playing a different version of a formation. Our highest assistant, Nicholas Eliasson, was always on the bench, which I still hate. So we just didn't have the potency, really. And I don't think we we have some very talented players that will become fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a transition for us. I just don't think we... I'm going to say it. I've never rated Lee Johnson's tactical ability, and I think a light was shone on it this year. It's been gone for what feels like 5 years. It's been... We had Dean Holden take over, who's done a very good job at trying to steady the ship towards the end of the season. Very good. Three or four games he had, and we got an all right points haul. Who do I think is going to take over?
By the time this goes out, you'll probably have a new manager. Who do you think it is?
So at the time of recording, everyone is in running, from Arsene Wenger he's not in the running. But it's extreme as that in certain... If you read certain forums, it could be anyone. Top favourite was Chris Hughton.
I mean, he could get you promoted. Genuinely could get you promoted.
And he was very keen. And then we chased Steven Gerrard for what felt like 2 weeks. And he said no, I think, about 6 times. And we were like, maybe more money? And he was just like, literally no, but thank you. And we were like, oh, go on. Go on, Stevie. Stevie G in Bristol, see? And he was just like, absolutely not. That's an awful riff. I hate you. And now Eddie Howe's been sacked. Or has left off his own accord.
Yeah. Oh, he'll go Premier League, won't he?
No, he won't, because he's going to join Bristol City. we've had so many. Phil Cook's also in the running. It's Phil Cook, isn't it?
Yeah.
3 points in now, so sorry, everyone.
No, we enjoy.
But I would suggest that... I would say it would be lovely if Chris Hughton took charge, because he's a safe pair of hands. He'll sort us out a little bit and hopefully get us into the playoffs and the automatics. I think he's going to energise those players. And he's an experienced Premier League manager. I think he'll fit the Bristol City vibe and brand. I don't think he'll give Lansdowne too much stick, and I don't think Lansdowne likes too much stick. So I think he's quite a professional, calm, considered guy. I think if we went like Joey Barton-esque, obviously not him, but like someone who's just
more aggressive,
Nigel Pearson-y, I think we'd struggle. So I think he likes a calm head at the...
Yeah.
At the motor.
Well, fair enough. What do you expect from Bristol City next season?
We've been consistently sort of in the top 12, I would say, the last few seasons. We've been playoff contenders. I'd love us to be up for another playoff battle. I think the playoffs are great as well.
Yeah.
If you ever make a playoff final, it's so much fun. The energy, everything. I can't wait to watch the championship.
Disagree on that. I've been to 2 playoff finals, both utterly miserable.
I mean, let's face it.
Utterly miserable.
We were almost in the Premier League and we got knocked out from the last one. But there is an energy to it. I love it. I think, ideally, automatic promotion, everything's fine. Top of the league. Everyone wants to win. But realistically, if we can make 6th or 5th in the playoffs, I think that's a success.
Let's talk then a little piece I like to call Football Heaven, Football Hell, where I'll ask you, what is the heaven? What's the best thing about supporting Bristol City? Could it be a certain memory you have in your life from a certain game? Maybe something that we wouldn't expect. You might say making the playoffs. It could just be a cold night at Ashton Gate one Tuesday evening in November. Give us your experience of Bristol Heaven, a great moment of supporting that team, and also give us Bristol Hell, the worst point where you thought, why do I fucking bother?
I wonder whether you got this format from Saturday Kitchen. My football heaven. I think I do love an away day.
Yeah.
And I, as I said, I go to Fulham away because my comedy boyfriend, he's straight, but we'll change it. He's a Fulham fan. And I love going to Craven Cottage because we always take such a great... Our away support is... Flair at the ready, tops off immediately, loud. And there is nothing more wonderful than going into a stadium as an away fan of your team and everyone being in a great mood.
I will say that Bristol City have were always at Reading were really good away fans. I've only ever seen Bristol City at away. I've seen them in a friendly, even at the Memorial Ground, Bristol Rovers, which apparently meant nothing, according to you. But they were always loud, which is why I was shocked to see the home support kind of a bit quiet. But yeah, away, you guys have got a good reputation. And quite a rough one. Quite a rough one.
What do you mean? We're legends. Legends you like a brawl once in a while. Fuck off, we're great. I love being on the right side of the away fans. But also, I don't know what... I do agree with the home support. It's very rare to get that energy unless we're really doing all right.
Yeah, we struggle too with that.
And it is a shame, but there is nothing better than supporting Bristol City. I would have said my football hell with Bristol City would have been any cup. Because for a long time, we were very bad at the cups. But then we did the League Cup run.
Yeah.
And we beat Man United and played admirably well against Man City at a time City were like would steamroller teams. I think that same season they like beat Rotherham 8-1. And you're like, we put up a really good fight. Mm. But normally we're bad at cups. But I would say one of the hells of supporting Bristol City is that you get attached to a set side. Like I got really attached to like Joe Bryan.
Mm.
And because I thought he was such a really interesting character in football. He was so important for us. His delivery into the box was amazing. Fulham fans will disagree with this now. But he was an attacking threat. He had a goal on him and he was just like an intelligent sounding footballer. He was everything I loved. And then we sell them on as soon as they get good. So I would say that is a pastime that we love, that I would love just for one season for us to not do that and keep the people that were making us competitive and then build upon it. But that's football, isn't it?
That cup run, that was quite a moment, wasn't it? When he picked up the ball boy and swung him around. I think it was that result that probably made me go, hey, I'll just say they're going to win the championship.
It was right after a really awful gig. And I remember watching it with four comedians who couldn't give a shit about Bristol City. And I screamed that little hotel reception down. It was a very unusual place to have watched that. It was an unfortunate time because I tried to end the gig before Bristol City started. I was emceeing. You know what it's like when you're emceeing. Like, anyway, next on stage is... hurry up, you've got four minutes. We're overrunning. We're overrunning by under 40 minutes. Come on! Just near the back. Just going, come on!
It's a funny old game.
Okay, so as mentioned, we're about to talk about homophobia in sport and Joseph's experiences of homophobic chants and actions on the terraces. This section will include some homophobic language and slurs as the incidents are quoted.
Let's talk a little bit about your comedy then, because a lot of the people I have on here, they're huge football fans, but they never really mention football in their stand-up. You do, and you also talk a little bit about homophobia in football as well.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so pro it. It really enhances football, just that layer of hate of gays and other LGBTQ community members. No, I, as a football fan, it's very easy to go and watch football and experience a bit of homophobia. I went to watch Fulham away against Millwall, right? Mm. Millwall fans, you're like, oh, they're not good. It was shortly after Phil Schofield came out. And we were under this underpass in Millwall Stadium, which is the most scary few words that you could put together.
That's the beginning of a Danny Dyer film.
It's terrifying. But I was with Fulham fans because I was with my boyfriend who likes Fulham, which is fine. And they all started chanting about Phil Schofield being a bender and being a puff and being then a pedo. And I was just like, guys, have you been to Fulham? Do you know what Fulham's like? Like, it's kind of like this, I would say, artisan kind of middle class, like, don't say anything out of line kind of vibe. I was potentially wrong about Fulham fans, but I was so surprised and shocked that I was there. And when you are the only gay in that particular village, you are really feeling quite I felt very, very vulnerable at that time, because all I really wanted to do was go, shut up, you absolute cunts. Please, can we just be normal and accept that loads of people, particularly when there's kids around and there are like families, shepherd, why are you, this is awful. And there are moments like that in football. And it, all of, as I say in my stand-up, I say like football players fall over and they're immediately called a puff and a bender. And there's this whole thing, and I hate it. It's straight footballers on pundits going, a gay footballer should come out. Because they do not know the trauma that that could cause. And they should know based on its history. And they say we've moved on societally. That's not a word. They say that we've moved on in society, but not enough for the point. All you need to do is see any comment stream on any LGBTQ pro thing in to do with any sport. It is the most absurd amount of hate that you'll ever read. And it is actually quite sickening and sad. And if a footballer player does come out who's high profile, they will have the thickest of skins to just let those bullets bounce off them. Because football is a global game with global politics and global religion. So, for instance, look at all of the sponsors on Premier League team. Visit Rwanda on Arsenal. These are places where it is either illegal to be gay or the death penalty. Malaysia, 14 years and whipping. That is what your punishment is for being gay. And it's adorned, fly Emirates. It's adorned on all of these places are adorned on Premier League footballers' kits. It's the same way when you look at the Commonwealth, how many countries in the Commonwealth have the death penalty or similar for being gay. And then you go to a gay footballer who's closeted, super in the limelight, potentially from a working class background, as so many footballers are from, where they then have to be the spokesperson for being a gay guy in football and be that person, be that torch when coming out is difficult enough when you're not in the limelight. It's an obscene thing to ask of anyone. And to say that it would be easy makes me feel angry. And it really makes me angry when you see football pundits going, there will be a lot of support for them, because they won't see the side of the hate.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where the visibility is getting better for it. But I think there will need to be this. I think what would be an amazing thing for the FA to set up is a secret meetup for gay footballers who are out within the Premier League, and them to all agree to come out together so not one of them is the story. That is how I would get around that. Until then, you need someone who has incredibly thick skin. All you need to do is look at Robbie Rogers, who said he would not be seen dead being gay in a Leeds United shirt. And he had to do it in the MLS, which is just a much more open-minded thing because football doesn't have its history there. The history of football, unfortunately, we need to educate people to say that it's you can be gay and play football. But not all of those people are willing to listen. And there's a lot of other factors of online hate that we have to take into account that is not good for the old psyche. Sorry. Anyway, comedy.
No. But I think you do make some really good points. And I think that the issue, like you said, when they interview a panel of four straight footballers, you always seem to get the same catchphrase from them. And I'm not saying that they don't mean what they say. And I have absolutely every kind of hope and belief that when these footballers or ex-footballers speak out about, the LGBT plus community, that they mean it. They genuinely mean it. They're not just trying to look good. But it seems to me they always run through the same catchphrases. And those catchphrases are always, well, if you look at the amount of players there are, there's got to be one in there somewhere, which is a very strange thing to just bring up statistically. Or they do the whole...
The lads in the dressing room, they would treat him the same, blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying that footballers are homophobes in any way, and I'm not saying that there wouldn't be a universal that's fine in the dressing room. That could happen, that's fine. And I'm not saying in any way that football as a sport is to blame for this issue. But it's the idea that, I mean, even Troy Deeney, who I really respect and love, and I think he's a wonderful sort of spokesperson of someone from a really interesting background in football, even he was just like, just think of the PR opportunities. And you're like, that And it wasn't a question. It wasn't something I would attack Troy Deeney for, because I can understand where he's coming from to a certain extent. There would be PR opportunities for it. But it simplifies an issue that I think is an issue of homophobia, of which I mean, that is very selective in the same way that other issues like of race and things like that. White people can be very selective of what they see. And I think straight people are in the same way, similar. And it's no fault of their own. It's just exposure. Yeah. And that's it. And it's about educating.
I was going to say the other thing they always seem to jump to, which I always find is a very strange question. They always end these little panel talks on this question. They go, so, again, asking a kind of a panel of straight men, so do you think we'll have an openly gay footballer in the next few years? And they always say, yeah, I think in the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully. And you think, well, there's no reason behind your thoughts. You're just saying that. And I just think there is, like you were saying, a lot to do first before somebody in the Premier League or the EFL comes out. I mean, like you were saying, I don't want to kind of tie in kind of any two different causes. I didn't want to tie them in together. But one thing I want to use as an example of what you were talking about with the online hate thing is something that I've thought about recently. Is it seems that the taking the knee for Black Lives Matter doesn't seem to be going anywhere, in the sense that I think a few people thought it was just going to happen on that first week that the Premier League came back, and it hasn't. It stayed to the end of the season. It'll happen throughout the Champions League, I imagine, and it'll happen into the new season. And my concern is that some football fans, for example, Burnley, were so against it that they went to the trouble of hiring a plane to fly White Lives Matter over the stadium. And I'm a little bit worried and will be disappointed when in certain clubs, I think up and down the country, when people are allowed back into the stadiums, allowed back in the grounds, when they take the knee, there's going to be booing unnecessarily from the crowd.
It's a difficult difficult situation because, I mean, in certain sports, particularly F1, there's been huge controversy with taking a knee as some drivers refuse to do it, but they will wear the sort of Black Lives Matter sort of T-shirts and stuff, because in certain cultures, taking the knee is deemed differently. Mm. And I find taking a knee is a wonderful gesture, and it always gives me tingles. It always, without fail, gives me tingles because it's just this wonderful image of people unifying for a movement. But unfortunately, because football is such a widely watched sport, there will always be people who don't understand the issue.
Yeah.
And those people will either choose to listen or will choose to follow their own already formed idea of what that issue is. And I think that's the problem with why we're seeing those White Lives Matter banners at Burnley. It's because those people are failing to see the reason as to why the Black Lives Matter movement is happening as an attack on white people and saying that black lives are more important, when it's not that at all. It's about equality. And the same things will happen with any argument of equality.
It happens a lot with pride. You know, when a football team, I've seen it, it makes you just want to smash your head against the whatever. It's when you see a football team say, for Pride Month, this is happening, or for Pride Month, this is happening. And the first top comment is always, when straight Pride Month. And they see it as that attack.
My favourite is, why is football becoming so political? And you're like, it's not political. These are people. They're people who felt divided from society in certain ways. But also, just on the flip side, if the homophobia in football debate, and hopefully there will be gay footballers in the future that will be playing and not retire before coming out, which is completely understandable, by the way. And if I was to do it and I was within that situation, I almost definitely would have waited until I retired to have come out. I think that there are some amazing people like Football v Homophobia, and there are lots of pride movements within football doing amazing things, and a lot of football clubs really pushing it and doing some amazing stuff. So like Aston Villa have an amazing gay fan sort of base, and they're really good with their sort of promotion of those matters. West Brom have got gay baggies, I think. That's what they're called. And again, there are a lot of clubs doing a lot of amazing things. So and Charlton Athletic are another fantastic example of a club that gave their badge to their gay team. So it's not all bad. It's not all negative. But I think a lot of people don't realise just how big a step coming out is.
Mm.
It's not about announcing it and making a show of yourself. It's as much for you as it is for them.
No, but thank you for sharing that, mate, because I think it's a fresh perspective. As you know, it's not something that I have experience of, so therefore it's good to hear how important it is, you know, because I remember little as 6 years ago being stood at a game and we were playing Brighton and it was absolutely just part of the game to just shout homophobic slurs at Brighton.
They get a lot of the flack.
Yeah. They do, and I that seems to just not go away. It just seems to be acceptable or part of the banter to just...
I think that's the issue, is when... And most of the people doing that aren't homophobic.
No.
They're not...
They're playing on the joke that Brighton
has gay people there. They think it's part of a fun vibe. They think it's part of a fun joke. But if you're a gay person hearing that, it is awful, and it makes you feel like shit, and you're not part of that joke that... fans think you're part of. It's amplifying why you don't feel comfortable of being in that stadium.
And as yourself, as a Bristol City fan, have you found that Bristol City are inclusive?
It's hard to say, really. I've not experienced any homophobic chanting at Bristol City. And boy, do I listen out for it, because I'm fun at parties. But I'm almost certain it will happen there as well. They're not going to be excluded from it. I mean, there's been a horrible scourge of West Country teams done for racism, including Bristol City, over the last few years. So I don't want to glamorise the fact that we're this perfect fan base when there are certain people that think Tommy Robinson chants are okay. And it's, again, it's done as part of a joke, but jokes, as you know, and as we know as comics, they do need a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just be a statement and then you laugh afterwards. That's not a joke. That's you being a prick. So Bristol City fans and the Southwest, Yeovil got done quite badly for racism and things like that. There are a lot of... The Southwest has a bit of an issue with it, I think. Probably more than people from the Southwest would like to admit, but I'm happy to admit it for them on a podcast. but yeah, there's a lot to be done and it has to start from grassroots upwards. And I think that's a campaign for race and for, not that I'm a spokesperson for race at all, but if we're talking about equality based issues, the LGBTQ issue also needs to start from the issue of homophobia within sport, needs to start from grassroots upwards. And that's what a lot of these organizations are doing.
Well said, Joseph. Well said.
But I'm fun, and if you want to hang out with me, I can be a real laugh. And sometimes I don't talk about this.
So anyone from Cardiff out there, do get in touch.
I believe that football should be inclusive unless you're from Cardiff.
It's a funny old game.
Sorry to be this guy, but Alexa, turn the light on.
Right. It's not even worked.
Not worked. It wasn't worth the laugh. I'm just going to do this for a bit so that you've got a bit of... Oh, that's outside.
There we go.
There we go. I'm back.
Okay, so, Joseph, it's that time now. You've dared to come on my podcast. You didn't actually contact me.
It's the test.
You didn't actually contact me.
Alex hooked us up.
And Alex said to me, he said, "Hey, Sam, my bro Joe," that's what he says. That's how he talks.
That's what he says, because that's exactly how he talks.
"My bro Joe is a Bristol City fan. He's the biggest Bristol City fan ever." And I said, "Fair enough, I'll take your word on it. You're normally quite honest about these things, but I'm going to have to test you, mate.
Can I just say, Alex, our mutual friend, is the most beautifully spoken, eloquent, lovely guy. He sounds a bit like Alexander Armstrong, just if you want to picture that.
Can you believe we went to school together? I think.
Did you?
Yeah, we went to school together. I think we were...
Because you sound like a real wrongin'. And he sounds like... properly, like, you know, he sounds like proper, you know, like a kind of person that you'd love to just be great at audiobooks.
He would. It was a great thing at our school. Everyone in the top sets had all the good teachers, and everyone in the bottom sets had the bad teachers. So, like, yeah.
And they probably dragged your verbal language through what seems like a dustbin.
There
we have
go.
Only met this evening.
We have. We've friends. Had a lovely time. We are. We're, this has been.
I'm
it's
having
been
a great,
great
time. I hope it's of use.
Yeah. It's, well, we'll see now as we now test you for this. Where is it gone? This always is the bit that takes the most editing because it never works. So, unfortunately, normally, as all the podcaster maniacs will know,
so I normally your podcast fan base, the podcaster maniacs.
I don't know what to call them. Come footy talk, because
I wouldn't pop you in first in my line of the branding sort of brainstorming session.
My listeners, I'll just call them listeners. It's original. They will know, the usual listeners of the podcast will know that I normally get my quizzes from really reliable sources, including thebeano.com or newsround/CBBC website. Now, unfortunately,
I'm so bad at this.
None of those sites have a Bristol City quiz.
Because so they're too legendary?
I've picked this one up from Bristol City Football Club quiz.tangwood.com. And all I'll say is...
Tangwood.
Well, yeah, and I want to do this really quickly because this site has said it's not secure and I keep getting dodgy pop-ups. So I'd like to get through this as quickly as possible.
I run this site. I do apologise.
Well, we'll see. As you might not know, the rules are very much... it's treated like a penalty shootout in that if you miss... Actually, that's not how a penalty shootout works. So
if
I don't know what I'm
miss,
on about.
If
you
bad.
Get one wrong, it's sudden it's death, basically. It's sudden death. It's golden question. It's not silver question. You get one wrong, the whole thing falls to shit.
And I'm
going to
get it wrong.
Score.
And then all Bristol City fans are going to hate me and probably would have kind of agreed with me on the homophobia thing, but have gone the opposite way after this quiz and gone, no, do you know what? We're going to be more homophobic now just to spite Joe. Just make sure he's never welcome at Ashton Gate.
Question one, Bristol City, tangwood.com. Available on certain websites, available on the dark web. So the question one, which of the following locations did Bristol City Football Club play home games at in 2014? It's multiple question, don't worry. Is it A, Ashton Gate, B, Ashton Fence, or C, Ashton Hinge?
That'll be Ashton Gate.
Ashton Gate.
Do I like that?
That's one question down. Well
oh,
done.
Fuck.
Well
that's
done.
Quite a nice one.
The lowest I think we've got so far is two. So if you get past two, it'll be fine.
Who got two?
Oh, who was it? I think it was Daniel Fitzhenry, Man United fan who lives in Exeter.
Shame on him. Yeah, classic. Yeah.
No, I think he got three, actually. So both Manchester fans got three. So question number two. One of these was or is a Bristol City Football Club player. Which one? Wayne Gretzky, Wayne Allison, or Wayne World?
Wayne Gretzky.
Do I like that?
Wayne Gretzky. Correct. Question number three.
I wouldn't be able to tell you where he played.
Which of these held or holds the manager's position at Bristol City Football Club? Which of these held or holds the manager's position at Bristol City Football Club? So Derek Jacobi, A. B. Derek Okora, perhaps one day from beyond the... Yeah. Or C. Derek McInnes.
Derek McInnes, and what a fine era it was. And by fine, I mean absolutely okay, average.
Do I like that?
Any other season, it seems.
Yeah. I think only there for a year.
Question number four. If you get past this, you've beaten Manchester again. Manchester team again.
So was that Lou Fitz, by the way? Because if it's Lou Fitz... I want to beat Lou to the bloody ground.
He got four. So if you need to get past this question. All right. Geographically, which of the following is further away from Bristol City Football Club? Is it Crewe Alexandra, Notts County, or Fleetwood Town?
Well, that's fucking hard because they're all like near Blackpool, you prick. So Fleetwood's Blackpool. Crew Alexandra. I'm sure they probably speak like that. So it's going to be like, not you, Alexa, sorry. Crew Alexandra. Where is that? I saw, where is Blackpool, above or below? And what was the other one?
Notts County, Fleetwood Notts County. Town, it's a bit too further.
Okay, it's not Notts County. Swing Crew. I went near Crew when I went up to Altrincham. I'm going to say it's... Oh, is Fleetwood near Blackpool? I think it is. I'm going to say Fleetwood.
Do I like that?
Correct.
Get in, you fucking pricks! Got you, yes!
Question number 5. Sorry, when Sam Baldock left Bristol City Football Club, which club did he go on to? Was it Bradford City, Brighton and Hove Albion, or MK Dons?
Oh, fuck. He was at MK Dons.
These are quite hard, actually, compared to some of them in the past.
He was at MK Dons. Did he go to Brighton? Did he go up or down? Sam Baldock. Was he at MK Dons before he came to us? That's the big question. Because he was at MK Dons for a while. Fun fact, he stayed at my house once.
He?
Yeah, fun fact, Sam Baldock was a friend of mine, Ed's. Well, I say friend. We lived together for the first year of uni and never spoke again.
Right.
I see you, Ed. So Sam Baldock was an MK Dons player then. I think he went on to... He went on to Bristol City after MK Dons. But did he go back? I'm going to say... I'm going to say... Because I don't remember him at Brighton. Oh, God, I don't know. I'm going to go MK Dons because he was there. He was there before Bristol City, I'm almost certain. I don't know where he went. Oh, he went to fucking Brighton, didn't he?
Well, I haven't selected it yet. So you can pick each whatever one you want.
Oh, I'm going to stick with my MK Dons.
Well, you're incorrect.
It was Brighton, wasn't it?
It was Brighton.
Get round! No, don't! Bloody!
Fuck's sake! I told you it was Brighton. He was at MK Dons. That's a fucking horrible question.
What question was that?
That's an absolutely awful, horrible question. What a horrible, disgusting, genuinely, awful, shit question was that?
Jack Toff, who was the Leicester City fan, he got 10 out of 10. He's the only person to have got 10 out of 10. And his questions were ridiculously stupidly easy. And I feel bad because this thing just, whatever I find, it pumps out the most random questions.
It's all right. I feel like I should have known. I didn't know because we didn't really see much of Sam Baldock at Brighton. So I didn't know if he went back to where he was. So
that's 5 out of 10, I think. Or 4 out of 10. That's the end. That's the end of the quiz. What a sour way to end. I could always finish on the Sam Baldock chant, if you like. That's one of my favourites.
Yeah, go for it, please.
Oh, Sammy Baldock, he's got a massive cock, and when he plays his football, he tucks it in his sock. He takes it out of his pants and swings it round his head. And one day he fucked a girl and now she's fucking dead.
I wish I'd asked him that when he was round.
Have you never heard that?
After a little bit of a... Come on, Sam, swing it round.
I know another Sam who sings about your cock.
Massive cock's a very big thing in the gay. It's a big thing in the gay community, of course. But it's a very big thing in the footballing community for chance, isn't it? I hear big cocks all the time. Maybe it's selective hearing. But
I don't know. I mean, that is a bit of an aggressive song, really, because it ends on him
murdering a woman.
Yeah, with his penis. Which I would like to say on this podcast, as far as we know, he has never done that.
No, he seems like a gentle guy.
All I remember is when I was in, because he plays for Reading now, and the first day he came on, just one guy on his own who was about 16 just stood up and sang that whole thing on his own for a solid 12 minutes, and it was beautiful.
I can't tell you how angry I am. I can't tell you how angry I am that he went to Brighton and not MK Dons. Yeah. I knew that. Why didn't I just trust myself? And because I knew he was at MK Dons and went to Bristol City. Because he was playing for MK Dons when he was at mine at uni, which was in 2008/09/10. One of those eras. I'm fine, though. Everything, I really enjoyed the show.
Oh, that's always good. That's always good. Yeah, we didn't get to the next questions. One of them was, funnily enough, something we mentioned, which creatures flank the shield in the club's logo? Unicorn. Out of date, but there we go. I thought, well done on the geography question, though. That was good. That was quite hard.
I can do geography. Just Crewe Alexandra is a bit nearer Manchester, I think. Oh, it might not be. Oh, God. I mean, everyone's going to write in to this if they've listened this far and gone.
If you do want to write in, please do send to P.O. Box.
Awful guy that you've got on talking about a team that no one gives a shit about.
Well, you know what? You know what, Joseph? You don't go away empty-handed.
Do I get a sad wave?
You get a sad wave. But you also get a nice retro remake of a classic Bristol City.
Oh, mate, I love it.
Football shirt. It's a lovely Scordrawl. Scordrawl ones, they do the best in the 60s. It's a 1967/70s, I believe, shirt. With a very old look. We've been talking about Crest. Look at that.
Yeah, mate. I've got a shirt with that on. Oh, my God. That is so incredible. Like, genuinely, I'm made up with that. Thank you so much, man. That is amazing.
We'll get that sent over to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll wear it literally every day. I genuinely will. Everyone needs to know I support Bristol City.
Well, I quite like that shirt you got on at the moment, so do make sure you wear
that. Yeah, it's good. They've gone Hummel now. They've gone a bit upmarket. They've gone away from Bristol Sport.
Is that the most recent one?
Yeah, it's the most recent training top. To be released, or have been released as you listen to this.
Yeah, probably. Well, Joseph, thank you very much for joining me on Comedians Talking About Football.
Thank you very much.
We kicked off some good conversations every time. I sneak that in every week. The fans love it.
Do they?
They do. Yeah, he does. He does.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not going to question their taste.
But from the kickoff to the full-time whistle, Joseph, it's a bit, don't do the whistle.
You were going to try to do the whistle.
Everyone does. Now, I need to get, I was thinking of getting a referee's whistle for this, and someone said, why? And I said, well, I just think it'd be a nice touch. And they said, why? And I went, all right, forget.
Well, what a story. It had a beginning and a middle end. You can't deny that.
It had a first half, a second. No, right.
Did it have a drinks break though? That's the most important thing. And does it have five fucking subs? I think absolutely fine about.
Oh, I need a drinks break in my act.
Yeah, I'm a bit exhausting.
No, it's thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Obviously, we're at the time of recording this. I mean, some gigs are coming. Are you managing to get to any gigs at the moment outside?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not snowed under with gigs at the moment. That's certainly not. I would like to get to do some gigs. The aim is to do. I was going to debut at Edinburgh this year, but that's going to be next year now. Talking about homophobia in sport, if you like.
And what's the show called?
Equalizer.
Equalizer. See, that is almost as good as when I say kick off during the podcast.
Sometimes I
start the podcast by saying, and I'll do it in the intro, no doubt, say, we're going to kick off with it, and they will love it.
And they will love it. The fans will audibly love it. Well, hopefully they audibly like that title, but I was asked to change my title.
And I'm sure they audibly liked you too.
Well, we may have done. Jury's out, but if they liked me, thank you. You can find me anywhere, sad and alone. but not much comedy going on. I've got a podcast as well called Billy Joe's Mates, Billy Joe Mates, which is Billy just Joe taking Mates. Comedians back to school. And I'll promote a new thing. I'm releasing some music completely off-brand from comedy, I know.
Are you?
Afterwards, yeah. Album out on the 13th of October.
Well, the Bristol City songs.
No, they are very sad, very sad ambient electronic music. So if that's your bag and you, for some reason, have listened to a Bristol City podcast, you're in luck.
Well, actually, that's one thing I thought was quite strange, is that, like, when I went to Bristol City away, as soon as we got in the ground, there was just a band playing. That's a bit weird.
We love our music in Bristol, we do.
Just an indie band, just sort of playing quite a slow song.
That is, I tell you what, the music scene in Bristol is incredible. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. How I'd take this music live, I don't know, and hopefully it never has to happen. Which is basically saying, I hope it's never successful. But thank you for having me on. It's been a real joy. Sorry.
Thanks again to Joseph Parsons. Can you believe that was our first meeting? I couldn't when I listened back. A really good laugh, but also some very, very important issues covered. For support on any of the issues raised and for information about LGBTQ plus communities in sport, you can visit footballvhomophobia.com, sportallies.org, pridesport.org.uk and the Rainbow Laces campaign at stonewall.org.uk, to name a few. Thanks for listening, and you can support and follow Joseph on social media. Just type his name into Facebook to find his comedy page and follow him on Twitter at Posif Jarsons. See what he did there? Very, very original. And also check out his music on Spotify. It's really good. It's really, really good. Don't forget to follow us too. Find the Facebook and YouTube by searching Comedians Talking About Football, or find us on Twitter and Insta with the hashtag at ComTalkFootyTalk. Hang on, did I just say Insta? I'm too old to be saying Insta. Instagram. Yeah, find us on Twitter and Instagram at ComTalkFootyPod. Also, your shares, reviews are massively appreciated. And, of course, your listens. So, if you can, join us for the next episode with Sam White. And she's talking about Everton. Till then, I'll speak to you soon.
Football. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game.
Game of you are.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
And thank you. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon, mate. Thank you very much for having me. Love you. Bye.
Right, I'm going
to
end the recording, but don't turn off the thing, as a few guests have done. It's really awkward when that happens.
Sports Social Podcast Network.